G'day everyone and welcome to the show, and today's guest we've got Michael Carter all the way from the States. How you going, Michael?
Hey brother, it's good to see you. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, thank you for coming on the show. It's an absolute privilege to have you on. You're an experiencer, you're a minister. You used to do acting, is that right?
Yeah, another lifetime ago. I was in New York. I was in professional theater for about 20 years. I did soaps, you know, soap operas. I did some off-Broadway stuff, some commercials, some print ads. That's when I went to New York to become an actor, and I wound up becoming a minister, going to seminary, meeting my present wife. It's been a journey.
That's amazing. Now we're just getting a slight wobble on the screen. Is the computer on a desk or something that's a bit wobbly?
Hold on.
It's all right. Yeah, just probably minimize touching the
maybe
desk.
Maybe I shouldn't hit it so much.
Yeah, no, it's all right. We just had a bit of a wobble, so it's all good. Now you've done like consulting for the TV series Ancient Aliens.
Yes.
Were you also on the real 4400?
Yes, the real 4400.
And you've been on other sci-fi stuff like Diaries, and Whitley Strieb has talked about your book as well as being, you know, basically one of the best books out there on the subject, which is a really big thing.
That meant a lot to me. I knew Whitley in New York. And, you know, in the UFO community. And we were going to do something for Life magazine back in the early 90s about all the experiencers. It fell through. They pulled out. But he and I, you know, at least we knew each other. I knew Bud Hopkins. He regressed me, the late Bud Hopkins. And so, you know, it was just this whole kind of little community there. And, you know, we saw things differently, not Whitley and I, but Bud. I saw my experiences as more positive, and Bud's group saw them as more traumatic, which I'm sure they were for them. Mm. But for me, it was a different story. So I just think we, like in any other subject, you need a balanced kind of perspective that usually there's three sides to, you know, there's yours, mine, and the truth. Yeah. So when the whole negative, you know, people having anal probes and having sperm taken and ovum, no doubt in my mind that happened. And it was traumatic. But for me, that didn't happen. So I just wanted to give a balanced kind of perspective to it. Because we paint people with broad brushes, you know, all the grays are evil, and all the Nordics are good, and all the praying men, you know, and that's just not the way it is.
Exactly.
We believe in this separation. Yes, there's some star visitors that are not going to hold hands and sing Kumbaya with us, but there's some human beings like that. Yeah. And there's some who are here for our spiritual evolution, and you know, there's some not. So, you know, it's just trying to keep a perspective, I think.
No, I totally agree with you on everything you just said, and it's the way it's got to be. You've sort of got to be you just got to be open-minded and not have a preconceived notion, because with my awakening, I did have preconceived notions on some things, and I checked myself real quick, because you learn to go, all right, not everything's love and light and not everything's bad. Same with the greys, you know, people give them a bad rap and it's like, well, I know of at least 12 races of greys myself. So
yes.
Like from experience, so it's not like I'm getting that from someone else, but that's where my interactions with them, they're slightly different vibrations. So some I don't resonate with, some I do. So this is where we really need to sort of put all cards on the table and just, you know, let the chips fall where they may, just from observation and what we feel.
Yeah, same thing with the reptilians. Mm. But I also want to honor that the people who have had those traumatic experiences, and I honor that. I mean, I hear you. It's just that, you know, it didn't happen with me. And I think the planet's in a lot of, well, we see there's a lot of problems, but it's because a lot of times we prejudge, we lump everybody into one group. And I'm not naive. I'm not saying we got to all hold hands. I mean, they're real problems. You can pick up a newspaper, turn on the TV, but the old way of doing things is not working. We need another way to solve these problems. I mean, I live in the United States of America, and we've been at war since before 2000, before the World Trade Center. We were in Iraq twice. We are constantly at war. That gets old, man. Yeah. That gets old after a while. But here we are. And I don't know all the answers. I mean, if I did, you and I could split the Nobel money. Yeah. But I do know that war is not the end. There's got to be a different way. Fighting over oil, fighting over resources, fighting over water. This person's Tea Party conservative. I'm liberal. You're black. You're Aboriginal. You're white. We're going to kill each other.
Yeah.
Going to kill each other, man.
Just over differences a lot of the time too, and who's right and who's wrong, and like you say, we've got to find another way, because what's happening now isn't working. And personally for me, I just think if enough of us just work on ourselves individually, and then we start to slowly work collectively, and that's the way it is for me. It's just like all I can do is work on myself and try and be an example of what I would like to be and what to see what I'd like projected in my life.
That's right. Well, that's what God says. Be the change you want to see in the world. And then the world changes one person at a time. And that's just the message that I've been given, that I've learned, and I try to live that way. Do I still have problems in life? Of course. Do I make mistakes like anybody else? Of course. But I have more self-awareness now. Yeah. It's easier for me to say, I'm sorry. I love you. I made a mistake. Would you forgive me? I'm scared. It's easier for me to do that now. So it's easier for me to be more authentic.
Yeah.
And this is more about what my second book is about.
Yeah, we'll go into this quickly now. Your first book was Alien Scriptures, and it wasn't it a bestseller in the UFO topic section in Amazon?
On Amazon Kindle.
Yep.
It was number one in the spring.
That's amazing.
I never even thought about that. And it was basically about the Bible and the Quran a bit, but about the three monotheistic religions, and that, in my opinion, from my research, they were originated, I don't know whether it was intentional or not, but by off-world intelligences. And this book that I've written, it's called A New World If You Can Take It, God, Extraterrestrials, and the Evolution of Human Consciousness. That is more about what you and I were talking about, how to find the God, Great Spirit, call it what you will, within, and using, not throwing away the Bible, but using texts that encourage us. Gnostic texts, they talk about knowledge, self-knowledge. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is within you. Billy Meyer's take on the Talmud of Jemmanuel, I do a whole chapter on that. Do a whole chapter on atheism. And so I want us to stop looking for God out there and start looking for it in here and all around us. Mm-hmm. And that's the message that I get from my star visitors. They think that our religions are primitive because we make gods in our own image, these deities, and then we worship them. And we look outside for something that's always within. It's already within.
I've got similar information from them as well. And it seems to be a recurring thing that we just don't realize who we actually are, that we are a cell of source or God or whatever people want to call it. And once you do start to see God in everyone and everything, and that it's a reflection of you as well, and that basically you're interacting with yourself, everything changes, because it's you see God within everything.
Yeah, and also you realize that there's no separation. And so this illusion that I'm separate from you, and it's not. What I do to you, I'm doing to me.
That's it.
And I'm doing to the planet. So, and see, that's the thing, like you say, because you're an experiencer. This what we're saying, brother, is all the sages of the ages, men and women, this is not a new message. Dr. King said it. Jesus said it. Joan of Arc said it. Mother Teresa. I mean, everyday people say it. This is not new. It's just that it's really needed now. People say, oh, well, that's, people have been saying that for years. Yeah, but somehow we're still not doing it.
Yeah.
But the stakes are high now. I mean, this climate change thing, man, it is real. It is real.
Yeah. You know, the solar flares coming in and the energy changes going on with the solar system where we are in galactic plane at the moment. And all these things are, it's like a domino effect. And now's the time where we've got to do something. You know, it's getting to breaking point.
I think, you know what, we may have reached the tipping point. We may have gone past the point of no return. But, I mean, we have the fracking thing here where we're just tearing Mother Earth apart. Of course, you know, when we bomb people and when we're fighting, that's not helping anything either. And again, I'm not trying to say there's a utopia or, you know, that I'm in the real world, but I do know that what you focus on, you create. So there's some people say, oh, it's the end of the world and Jesus is going to come again. And then, but every end is a new beginning. If you want to make it the end of the world, all you got to do is keep focusing on it. But if you want to focus on the world you like to have, then there's possibilities.
Well, it's basically like life is a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you want this, you're going to manifest that with your thought of where you're going with things. And, you know, like, to me, like, a lot of the, and I've interacted with some of these saints and sages are real, and they were preaching the same thing, and it's like, now it's time to put this in action. People are like you said before, oh, that's what this person said, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's like, well, why don't we get the point?
Because it's getting out of hand. I mean, we can actually destroy ourselves. And, But I know a lot of people who, you know, they have a love vibration, and they do get up every morning and try to be the people they say they are, and that's, you're not going to see them on the news, but you know they're out there. We're one of them because you're going to attract what you are. Football players don't hang out with chess players. You know, you hang out with people who have the same vibration. And so I do have hope. I do have hope, but I also know that this is not a dress rehearsal. I mean, the planet is in some trauma now.
Well, like, I've had different information on different timelines and that now sort of create your own reality time, but even though that may be so, there's other timelines where catastrophic things can still exist. And I had Alfred Weber on the show, or did a show with Alfred Weber yesterday. And it was still, you know, like I said to him, I don't have a clue. Like they said, I think linear. So this is where I think we've just got to focus on us and where we want to go and project that and just sort of worry about that. Because when you delve into timelines and, you know, parallel universe, it gets complicated. And I think things are easy, but there is a complicated component to it. But, you know, it's just one of those things where we've just got to work on ourselves and, you know, but try and be the example that we want to lead.
You know, and that's, it's, how can I say, not just in the UFO community, but, you know, we get a lot of information. And in our culture here in the West, information is confused with wisdom, and it's not. It's just information. And so for me, I want, yes, okay, let's say we find out that, that star visitors didn't make the pyramids, and, you know, we've been genetically engineered, which I'm sure of that. You know, all those things, let's say all our questions are answered. Tomorrow morning when I get up and go to work, it still comes down to how am I going to interact with my fellow human beings and my friends' off-world intelligences. So if the information can't be used as wisdom or knowledge, and then knowledge can be used as wisdom, and wisdom can be turned into love, other than that, you know, all this information So what?
No change comes from it unless it's done, you know, something productive is done with it.
Yeah, yeah, you know, whether it's back engineering or, you know, reverse engineering or whatever, that's all nice to know, but that's not going to help me get through my day tomorrow.
Well, that's the thing. I think a lot of people, just from personal opinion, you know, more people are starting to come from the heart. And I think in doing that, like, there's been people, fellow experiencers who talk about their family to me and friends where they go, look, these dudes just don't get it. They haven't had an experience. They're paying me out. They think I'm nuts. And I said, all right, fair enough, you know, I've been through that. But then I said to them, you know, for example, is your father or is your brother or your mum, are they a good person? And they're like, what do you mean? I said, well, if you take all this ET stuff out of the equation, do they treat people how they want to be treated?
Yeah,
would they give somebody the shirt off their back? And they go, yeah. I said, they don't need to know what we know then, because that's what we need in the world. We need people like that. And it's not saying they should not know what we know. It's just if they're being an example of what we would like to see in the world, like they're being good people, that's, to me, might be just enough. You know, that at least they're being good people.
Yeah, you don't need to have an extraterrestrial experience to be a loving individual.
And
people need to hear that. There are plenty of good people out there who live their lives with integrity and with authenticity and with love. And they've never had an ET experience this life, and they may not. You and I just happen to have had that, and we're just trying to pass on, I feel, what we've learned from that experience that can bring people together. It's really that simple for me.
I think that's been productive for them, but where at least they're doing, like how you're saying before, with all this knowledge and wisdom, what are anyone's doing about it? And that's where I think at least they're being productive, being good people.
Yeah, because information in and of itself means, at least to me, it means nothing. You know, if all my questions were answered, I found out how the pyramids were built. You know, I found out how the propulsion systems of some star visitors, maybe they use their mind to do, if all that stuff, you know, they can walk through walls and that kind of thing. Let's say I knew all that. But if I don't know how to love, that's just information.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's what Paul said. So that's all I'm saying. I'm not anti-information. I'm not anti-intellectual. But for me, I had to come out of my head and to come to my heart and then live from my heart. Because in my head, we're always in our heads.
Well, there needs to be that balance. Like even between science and technology and spiritualism, we need both, but there needs to be a balance. And good intent with both is where love comes into it and we actually do evolve, but there's got to be a balance with this. And it's even with experiences like us, we have this other world where we're tapped into other realities and things which I believe anybody can, but then we've still got to live in the so-called 3D world or whatever people want to term it. We've still got to be grounded and learn to live here at the same time. So it's, you know, it's having that balance.
Yeah, but some of these ET races, they have it. They have the technology, they have the science, and they have the high vibration of love. So we're here on Earth, science and religion are still kind of like distant cousins, or science and spirituality, because religion and spirituality aren't always the same thing. But you can have that. But here we have the technology, but the technology rules us. I mean, and it always has. I mean, Dr. King talked about, you know, that we've got all these weapons, but our spirituality hasn't caught up with our technology. And so every time we get something, we make a weapon out of it. We make a drone, or we get the stealth bomber, or, you know, we gave Israel that shield that they have over some of their cities. I mean, that's all ET technology, night vision goggles, these smart lasers and stuff. We could use that technology for peaceful means too, but we don't have the spirituality to go with it.
Yeah.
It's like giving a little baby a gun. Somebody's going to get hurt eventually. And so all this technology, but we don't have the spirituality to go with it. And that's why we're destroying ourselves. But you know, again, it sounds bleak, but I get up in the morning, and with shows like this, but I have the audacity to have hope. I think that we are growing, that we are evolving. The shows like this, Ancient Aliens, conferences where people can talk about spiritual transformation. Because that's, I was reading Facebook the other day, and Thich Nhat Hanh was saying the only thing that's going to save us from climate change is love. And not this kind of,
love and light, new agey.
Right, but that we got to love this planet. Yeah. Or else we will go past the tipping point. So it's a journey, brother, and I love it. I love being alive. I got a family. I got an 8-year-old daughter. I got a wonderful wife. I enjoy my life. I enjoy my work. I enjoyed writing those books, and so I'm very fortunate. If I lived in Haiti or if I lived in some places in developing countries, I'd be like Donald Trump. I don't make a lot of money, but I got 2 cars. My wife has a car. We have a car, have a nice home. We go on vacation once a year, have a gym membership. When I stop and think, I'm relatively healthy for 57 years young. So I got a lot of blessings in my life.
Yeah. We're in the top. We'd probably be in the top 10% of really the rich and healthy in the world, even though, like myself, I've got a couple of cars and I don't own anything else, but I've got food, I've got shelter, I've got clothing, and I've got good support around me, and I couldn't ask for anything else.
Yeah. And those are the things that really matter when it's all said and done. Who was it? Meister Eckhart said that if the only prayer you ever said was thank you, that would be enough.
That's it. And just having good people around you. Like, I've just met a beautiful lady now. I've moved to Melbourne, 3 states away from where I was. But having the support with people around me now, like, that's what beats anything. And just, you'd know with your partner and your kids, that I haven't got kids, but, that's where, you see blessings in, that aren't what people think.
Yeah, but you don't have, you have a companion. Mm. So you don't have to be alone.
Yeah, that's it.
To share love with. Yeah. You can share experiences with. It means a lot. It's a lot of lonely people out here.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are lonely. And a lot of people are lonely because some people don't know how to be in relationship. It's a give and take. Relationships take work. Love takes work. Mm. But we're not told that. But it's well worth it. And it takes courage to love because I don't dwell on this, but my wife and I have been together 10 years. We've known each other 14, but we've been married 10. And, one of us is going to die first.
That's
just the reality. And if we stay together, even we don't, but if we stay together, which we plan on it, one of us is going to go first. But it's worth the journey. It's worth that, I think.
Yeah.
Love is worth it. And so we just enjoy each day.
Well, that's the thing, and there's no manual to it, so we're just going along, and we're all learning from each other. So now, what I wouldn't mind going into is, we'll go a bit more into your new book a little bit later, but I'd like to talk about, if you're willing to, about some of your experiences and sort of how this started and how the transformation within your awakening and where things are today. Just, we could go hours and hours, I guess, and it would be great to get you back on sometime, but we'll sort of just go where you'd like to go with this and sort of introduce us to yourself.
Okay. When I was a kid, 7 or 8, I used to see I used to wake up with blood on my pillow, and I used to think my ear was bleeding. I later found out I probably had an implant. But this would go on, I was a kid, and I'd be sitting in my room and I'd see these balls of light and they would just float around and I'd just kind of be looking at them. They were like orbs, and some were green, some were red, some were purple, now looking back, those were some of my contacts. But my contact where I saw my little friend, December 28, 1989, I had come back from the pyramids in Chichen Itza and Tulum. And I was living in New York City then. And I went to a party that night. And I had never really been out of the country, so I was really brown and browner and tan. And I didn't want to go to the party, but I kind of wanted to show off. You know, I just came back when it was 85, 90 degrees. It was freezing in New York. So I went for about an hour and a half. I caught the subway down to Times Square. And, you know, there were adult beverages, but I didn't have any because I probably would have fell asleep. You know, I had some deviled eggs, some potato salad, and I made my appearance and I left. And I went back home, and it was freezing that night. And so I don't know whether I had to get up to go to the bathroom. I know that my girlfriend at the time, who became my first wife, she just never woke up. She wouldn't get up. But I just woke up, and at the edge of my bed, it was this cobalt blue light. And there was a being who was, he wasn't gray, and I think it was a chalk-colored, pear-shaped head, Ray-Ban eyes, slanted, a jumpsuit that looked like aluminum foil. And I thought I was going to have a heart attack. And I pulled the cover up over my head, man. I was so scared. I pulled the cover up over my head. And when I did that, I heard this whoosh, like this wind. And I felt like I was outside. Now, I'm on the 15th floor of an apartment building at the Excelsior Hotel, 45 West 81st Street, between Columbia Avenue and Central Park West. That's where I was living. And I pulled the cover down. I was in my room, and it was quiet. Every full and new moon for about 6-8 months, like clockwork, so twice a month, I was getting visits. And I was wide awake like I am now, and I would be paralyzed. And they would show me pictures in my head. Okay, like telepathy.
Yep, I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And even now, sometimes it takes me a long time to turn the light out before I want to go to sleep. I don't have the fear factor so much from them, because then I started seeing reptilians.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the past 2 years, I've been seeing these brothers that are really tall. They got hoods on, like monks. Back in the medieval time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they got like blonde hair, big brothers. But it's just that, you know how it is. Your door's a lot, my door's a lot now.
Yeah, yeah.
When
that
we finished.
Doesn't mean Jack.
Yeah. And you know, when I open my eyes, there's someone looking at me. But nothing hurt. I mean, they did some things that hurt. They stuck a needle in the back of my head, right here where my spine and the back of my, that hurt. They did, and then they stuck one in the top of my head, but it didn't hurt. I asked them not to make it hurt. They would shoot little rays out of their little hands, and it like in my throat chakra. 2 years ago, July 4th, 2013, I had a blood clot. I had a really bad year. I had lost my job. My wife and I were talking about separating. My dad had died. It was like a country western song. And I had a blood clot that was huge, and it was up my leg. I was injecting myself in my stomach with Coumadin. I was taking Coumadin, but something called Enoxaparin. The brothers with the hoodies, they came in my room and they did like that with it, and a green light came out of their hands, and it hit me in my back and stomach. Well, actually, when I turned over and saw them, it hit my back. I felt this bzz, bzz, bzz. And then I turned around and they just did like that. And then they just dissolved. The next morning, the blood clots were gone. 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 And I didn't think to take a selfie, a picture, but my wife and child, because they know about my experiences, and they said, "Oh my God, what happened to your leg? It was big, I'm a thin guy. It was really swollen. When the next day, my leg was normal, like it is now. When I went to the doctors, I didn't tell them what happened, but they were really concerned. Like, how did that happen so quickly? How did that happen? The medicine doesn't work. I just said, look, just be happy for me.
Yeah.
So I have ongoing. There was a time where maybe for a year or two, I didn't see them. Maybe I had a dream about them or what have you, but they stopped coming. But that was a busy time in my life. So maybe they just said, leave him alone. He's married now. He's trying to work things out. But this is all through my life. And this is, I've known them for up through other lifetimes.
Yeah, well, that's what I talked about on yesterday's show with Alfred, is that, like things went quiet for a while for myself, but it's just reminiscent of what you're saying is, I used to wake up and there would be an ashy white grey, and these dudes are later found out they work for the Council of the Whole, and I still don't know anything much about them, but I'd wake up and it would be this far from my face, and it would scare the crap out. And same thing,
put the
head over my head, just wanting to go away, but later on, then more interactions started to happen with light blue light beings, which say that they're Elohim, they're not angel or God, but they said we'd call them that, but they're like a liquid blue light. There's a white light being from the Pleiades that can appear human, and then there's been reptilians and other types. So, and it's ongoing. From even last night, when my partner stayed, I woke up during the night to like this big bubble head grey at the end of my bed, and it blinked out. And before I even said anything, she knew what was going on, but I don't have a clue what happened there. But that's the thing, is it's ongoing, and what a lot of these experiences do, I think, is we learn more about us than anything. Like, we know as a collective we're not alone and there's other realities, but we, like, for me, I've learned more about my role, but then I've learned more about me. And has that been the case for you, that you've learned more about you?
Yeah, that's what we were talking about earlier. Yeah, because that's where the knowledge and wisdom comes in. When I started, for instance, I was raised Baptist in the African American Baptist tradition. And, you know, when that didn't fit, I started reading metaphysics. I started reading a lot of philosophy, psychic phenomenon, that whole thing. And I opened up my consciousness, and that's when I started meeting them. Now, probably people listening who are more conservative Christians or whatever, they're probably going to say, see, you were studying the occult, that's the devil, blah, blah, blah. No, that wasn't for me. I got out of that box and I started to shift. And I started to say, okay, there's common ground with everything. You may be Jewish and you may be, it's all good. The stuff that separated us, I could see through it, and it was an illusion. And I got to know more about me. I was in therapy, because after I had my first experience, I went to a psychiatrist because I thought I was losing my mind. I had to go to a shrink. But I went to therapy. I started going to workshops, working on myself, developing skills, boundaries, learning how to say no, learning how to be more authentic. And that was part of the hero's, or if you're a woman, the shero's journey, to know who I am. And I think any spiritual path, that's where you start. You said it earlier, very eloquently. It's about going inside and seeing where I am. And that's been this whole journey. I'm going to be speaking at the Edgar Cayce Institute. I haven't been to a UFO conference in at least 20 years, but I'm going to be speaking the weekend of October 10th. I bring that up because a friend of mine was one who suggested I send my resume there, which I did, and they called. But she said, Michael, I told people you were coming. And people said to me, we can't wait to have you here. We want to hear some spiritual wisdom. We want to hear some, and that's what people are hungry for. Yes, they want to know about the nuts and bolts and the Anunnaki and they want that, but they also want to know, but how do I live my life?
How do we do some practical stuff instead of just all the theory? Yeah. Yes. That's why I've been stoked to have you on and talk to you. Like, before we started the show, like how we're talking about, like, it's cool with the nuts and bolts and all that stuff, but it's getting over the point of how big a craft is this photo real or not? Where was the object? How many people saw it? To something's going on here, and what do we do with that? Because like we were talking about earlier too, is that a lot of this isn't nuts and bolts, and it's not that there's anything wrong with the nuts and bolts, but you know, I've said it to many people before. If we look at the time of Jacques Vallée and Alan Hynek, which are great people, and Jacques still around, I think. What's happened really since the 50s and 60s with the theories and everything? Everything that happened back then that stood still then in terms of interdimensional, time traveling, all this stuff, the same theories and everything still stand today, and we have not progressed. And it's time that we take a different approach, and this is where you come in for this type of thing. And that's why it's been such a privilege when we hooked up. I was just like, I'm stoked because this is what we need. And more people are starting to go down that route. A lot of the people that I've had on the show are going down that avenue, which we need to do something different.
Well, see, so consciousness is raising. Consciousness is changing. And I used to say, this is not going to be the nicest thing to say, but you know, when people have the experiencers, it's not people that work at MUFON. They're not coming to visit the people at MUFON. Yeah, they're coming to visit everyday people like you and me. Coming to visit, some astronauts, military people or whatever, but they're not going to the scientists because the vibration's not there. You know, when they don't want you to get hooked up in just the nuts and bolts.
Yeah.
You know, who's the brother, Marshall Van Summers or whatever, who wrote Allies of Humanity? You know, there's some good stuff in there, some wisdom, but they're talking about other things, but they're talking about not getting so hooked up on the technology that you make yourself vulnerable. The more technological a civilization is, the more that they have, the more resources they need, the more they have to deplete in order to, you know, to use their technology. So there are pros and cons. We've become slaves to technology. I mean, it makes the very thing that was supposed to make our lives easier has made us slaves. And so, again, I'm not anti-intellectual, I'm not anti-technology, but I am saying I'm echoing what you said about the balance. These ET civilizations, they have the technology to get here, they know about quantum physics and multiverses and all that, but a lot of them also know about the heart chakra and how not to fight so much, how to get over this belief in separation, how to choose love over fear. And you can still have the technology.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that's where I'm coming from, trying to find a middle ground. And so far, so good. We'll see.
Now, if we can go into a little bit of your first book, Alien Scriptures, what's some of the main things that sort of... when you were writing that book and some of the knowledge that's there, like, of course, you got a whole book, but is there a few key things that sort of stood out to you when doing that you thought were pretty trippy but pretty cool stuff?
Great question. For me, I believe, and I'm not the first person to say this, one of my heroes and mentors and colleagues is Dr. Barry Downing. He's a Presbyterian minister, retired. He wrote a book back in 1968 called The Bible and Flying Saucers. But to me, everywhere you see the word angel, if you put extraterrestrial, it makes more sense. Because angel in Greek means messenger. Doesn't mean they had wings. And I know someone wanted to argue with me. I'm not saying angels don't have wings. If you've seen angels with wings, great. But I'm saying that angel means messenger. They made love, they ate, they didn't have wings. Our ancestors drew wings because they were trying to let us know that they could fly. So that's one thing. When I look at the Exodus story, there's no Jewish religion until the Israelites leave Egypt. They're following a UFO, a pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. We know that. Sometimes they can hide in clouds. Sometimes they come out of a mist. So the people were using the language of their day.
Yeah.
And so you have this UFO reality starting the Hebrew religion. You can't have Christianity without Judaism, because Christianity. So you have the UFO reality in both religions, and you have the same thing in Islam.
The angel, too, yeah.
Yeah, Gabriel. He Muhammad's in the cave. He's meditating. He's contemplating, and he hears the voice saying, "Recite," and that's Gabriel. Gabriel's got a great job. Everywhere he goes, women get pregnant. You ever notice? These angels, wherever they go, women get pregnant. Miriam gets pregnant. We call her Mary. Elizabeth, her cousin, with John the Baptist. Lot, you know, Sarah gets pregnant from, you know, every time an angel shows up. And I'm being facetious, but that does happen. But also that Yahweh is an astronaut. I mean, anybody who, you know, he wants to drown everybody and start all over. He gets angry, and you know he wants you to kill men, women, and children when they go into the land of Canaan. I mean, I can give you Bible verses if you want. I got my Bibles here. And so he mellows out as we go on, and then Jesus comes along, and it's almost like Jesus is talking about a different God.
It is
a different.
Yeah. It's like as if he's bipolar. Yeah.
Right. Mm. And he doesn't say, get rid of Moses. He just says that you got to bring your A game. Moses said this. I'm saying this. They say, you know, the Ten Commandments were for other Jews. They weren't for the uncircumcised. They weren't for the Gentiles. They weren't for the Goyim. Jesus comes along and says, you got to love everybody. You got to love your enemies. You got to love your Romans. You got to love the Greeks. You got to love the Gentiles. So he's not saying get rid of the teachings of Moses and what have you, but he's saying now we can expand on that. We can go from justice to love. And so those were the key things that I got out of writing the books. Now, I will say this. I know some people who became atheists and agnostics and they don't believe, and you don't have to believe, but there's pearls of wisdom in the Bible.
Yeah.
And you can take that wisdom and apply it to your life now, whether it's the book of Proverbs, whether it's the teachings of Yeshua, what we call him Jesus,
yeah.
Emmanuel. That's what I'm doing. I don't think you have to throw everything away and say, oh, it's all BS, I can't use it. There are pearls of wisdom there, because the Bible, Jesus lived in empire. I live in an empire. United States of America is an empire. We have over 700 military bases around the globe.
Yeah.
That's not a republic. That's an empire. You know? And so how do I... Caesar, Obama is Caesar. Bush was Caesar before him. Hillary Clinton may be Caesar afterwards. So I render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. I pay my taxes. Jesus paid taxes to Rome. But he also said, and render to God, the source, creation, call it what you will, the things that belong there. And so I'm a humble subject of the empire, but my heart belongs to me. That does not go to Caesar.
That's
not going to Caesar. And so I look at the Bible and I say, how did these people live in empire? Whether it was Babylon, whether it was Rome, whether it was Persia. That's what I did. So that's what got me going with the first book, that we were worshiping an astronaut. There were many astronauts that were carving up the Middle East, that whole geopolitical thing going on there. And then Jesus comes along and he says, wait a minute, those answers are within you. Those answers are within you. It's about love. It's about serving humankind. And so the second book is about, that's about the evolution of human consciousness. When you realize that whatever's out there is in here and vice versa, you change your vibration and then you go to the next level of human consciousness. That's what my ET friends are telling me. We're not here to take over anything. we're trying to get you to go to the next step in human evolution. And the only way you can do that is to put down your sword and shield. Put down your M16 and your AK-47. Put down your smart bombs. Put down this fear. But that's the only way you're going to do it.
No, definitely. That's very, very similar stuff. How have other ministers taken to you with your stance on your outlook on you know, your experiences and...
Good question. It's a great question. Well, I'm going to be honest with you, brother. I don't know. I don't talk to other ministers about it, except for Barry. Yeah. And he's more conservative in his theology than I am. So we both agree that ETs started this, these religions. But like for me, I'm suspicious of a God who would kill the firstborn Egyptians to prove a point. Mm-hmm. He says, well, you want your God to be warm and fuzzy, Michael. Sometime God has to get tough. I think that's not a good enough answer for me. So Barry and I will talk about it. But what I can tell you is that 15, 20 years ago, I was not doing this. I would talk about it. I wouldn't talk about my experiences. But in the church that I'm in, people bought my book. People watch me on Ancient Aliens. People have talked to me about it. And so consciousness has changed. Some people may say, I don't agree with everything. But 15, 20 years ago, I probably couldn't have got a job if people said, this guy says he's having visitations. People are curious. So I'm very grateful for that. If I get a chance to talk about it, I will. But I don't preach it from my pulpit. And I only bring it up if people ask me.
Yeah. No, that's the way, and, you know, it's honoring everyone's realities, and you don't want to over, you know, do people's heads with it and be preaching it as in, you know, this is the way, and that's, you know, what you think is a load of crap. It's just, you know, it's great that you can have that balance again with all that. And, like, you know, just with the Bible and everything else, I think, you know, people have just got to go with what resonates, and there are, like you say, pearls of wisdom within in that, and the Quran, yeah. and other religious texts like the Mahabharata, and, you know, many other things out there. So, again, it's just a balance, and I think finding correlations between all these ancient texts and scripts is where, you know, you start to build a bit of a picture as well. Like, I wrote a book called The History of Man, where I did very similar thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's been a big, big thing for me. I was brought up in a Christian lifestyle, but I've never been baptized or, you know, went to church a handful of times. And when I had my experiences, I actually blew a lot of this off. And then later, when things started to get more full on, I was drawn back to it. And just like you said, you know, there were pearls of wisdom, and things started to make sense. And I was like, there's misinformation chucked in. It's like the King James Bible is the authorized version of that Bible. So when you tell people that, it's like, well, it's been authorized by him, therefore it's had to have been changed or fit to his agenda when he was king.
Definitely.
So there's that part to it. Now, with your experiences, like you said, you've seen the hoodie dude, some of the greys, you had these balls of light, and you had those experiences. Was it when there was the full moon or the quarter moons?
December 28th, 1989 is when I first saw that chalk-colored brother who looked like, we call him a gray, but he was chalk colored. And then twice a month, I would have the experience. I could almost tell when they were going to come. And it was always around a new and full moon. And it would get real quiet in the house, like still. And then boop, they were there. Well, I couldn't move. And I would have to force myself to move. I could break the paralysis if I just kind of focused, but I was getting scared. And sometimes when I broke the paralysis, they would go. And then I would miss them. You know, I would be afraid because they could pop in my room, but then I would miss them when they didn't show up. And I still have that now. I had a heavy summer this summer, a lot of contact with the tall blonde-haired brothers with the hood. And for the past maybe 2 or 3 weeks, I haven't heard anything. But they'll come when they're ready to come. you know, I wrote the book and I got that. I just finished it a couple of weeks ago.
Was there a lot of activity when that was happening and sort of synchronicity things that came to you for that book? Like, it was like you're thinking about something and stuff was just put in front of you?
I tell you what, that's a very good point. In a way, it was. What happened was my publisher wanted me to write this book maybe 8 months ago. And I was just tired and think my life was busy. And I just didn't do it. I told him I was going to do it, and I didn't do it. And I just, something just kept saying, Michael, just sit down and put a sentence on the paper. And when I did, it just flowed. I wrote my book in probably 4 or 6 weeks. But I have a whole library here of books, so I didn't really have to. I could research here. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I got so many books here on the topic, so I could just pull books out, and I just sat down and I did it. Now, my wife wrote a book. She's trying to get published on religion and spirituality, and she wrote her book in about 4 months. Now, her book is much longer than mine, but I finished my book. I probably did my book in about 6 weeks. And it did just flow once I did it. I mean, I didn't even do an outline. I just did the chapters as they came to me. I didn't, you know, usually you do an outline. And then I just said, okay, that's my first chapter. Okay. And then, okay, well, my God, that's my second. I had 9 chapters. But they cover a lot of topics, but they're all, it's when you read it, you'll see it's the next level. It's the part two to the first one. Cause now we say, okay, Yahweh is an astronaut. We're talking about ancient aliens, if you will. Now what? And that's the thing, because when you watch these shows, people will talk about astronauts, ancient aliens, but they don't go any further, because the next question is, well, what does that mean about higher consciousness and God or whatever? If you're going to say that God, the God we worship, is an astronaut, then that brings up a lot of other questions, and I try to tackle those questions in the second book.
And a lot of people try not to go there. They just don't want to go there, and that's where you're right. You have to go there, and you know where. We're experiences, but even for the researchers don't want to, I think a lot of them do go there, but they're not willing to go public that, you know, that they go there. Now, in saying that, I think a lot of them are afraid that what's going to be thought of them, or it's like, I can't prove it, therefore I'm not going to voice my opinion, but I think more people need to voice their opinion, and I think it's okay if you're wrong as well. And this is the thing with society. It's like, if you're right, you never get any congratulations or anything. And if you're wrong, everyone's on the bandwagon to just smash you. And you have as much as a right to be wrong than right. It's just we need to sort of be open about that.
Yeah, yeah. And I make it plain. This is where my research has led me. It may be wrong. I don't think it is, but it may be. But that's what I did. I just had to go to that next level. And I'm excited about the book. It'll be out October 13th. And I'm excited about it. And I hope people read it.
So people will be able to go to Amazon for that?
Yeah. Right now, they can go to Amazon and get Alien Scriptures. Yep. You can go to Barnes & Noble. That's in Kindle form and paperback. My new book, A New World, If You Can Take It, that will be out October 13th. Now, you can pre-order it on Kindle now. You can go to Amazon, type in my name, Reverend Michael J.S. Carter, and you'll see the book, pre-order, Kindle. But the paperback, the hard thing, that'll be out October 13th.
Yep. Now, that's it's good that you've got the different formats for people to get it, and I'll have a link up to your website and your first book on Amazon. They can go and choose what copy they get there. Just one question before I let you go. When you had the blood clot and...
Oh, my God.
...with the beams and that sort of thing, was there... Whenever they did whatever they did, was there any sort of like physical component of, was there a sharp pain from what they were doing to fix that? Or was there an energetic component, or was there just nothing?
It was energetic. I'll tell you what happened.
Yeah.
I was lying. I'll tell you what happened very quickly, because I know we run out of time. We had, it was a lot of thunder and lightning that night, and all the fireworks were canceled. And I was glad because you sit out there, my wife loves it, but the mosquitoes and all that. And it was a lot of thunder and lightning. And I had a lot of friends who fought in Vietnam, and I couldn't go to sleep because of thunder and lightning. And they told me that it was almost like when they were in Vietnam and there's artillery and whatever, you're trying to get 2 hours sleep or 3 hours sleep, and shells are flying. So I said to myself, this must be what it was like for them. And I heard this, it sounded like bees. Bzzz, you know?
Yeah,
it was bees, like a buzzing sound. And I turned around, and right as I turned around, because I sensed a presence in the room, there was the hooded brother with like the Benedictine monk, and he put his hand out and a green light. So it hit my back, and then when I turned over, it hit me in the stomach. Didn't hit my leg. And then he just dissolved. I went back, I got up, I wrote it down, 9:49 p.m., July 4th, Independence Day, da da da. The next morning, because I went right back to sleep. Well, not right back, but, you know, but I never thought to look at my leg. The next morning when I got out of bed and looked at my leg was back to normal size. I mean, and it was huge. And I never had blood clots before. So I would think that green light was an energetic thing.
Yeah.
The healing energy. But my leg was shrunk.
Yeah, that's trippy. So it's gone back down. When you heard the bee type noise, did you get anything? Was it almost like, was it any distortion or white noise static, like tuning in between car, like an old car radio between stations, like a slight distortion static noise to it with the buzzing?
No, it wasn't. But what tripped me out with the buzzing is because I never had that before, but this was a different entity. Yeah. But when I had a book here on Fatima, you know, the kids sing the apparition of Mary. And one of them said that when Mary spoke, it was a buzzing sound like bees.
Yeah.
I don't know how that fits, but I know it was a buzzing because it sounded like there were bees in my home. And someone said it was the vibration of them. I don't know. It sounded like bees. But again, these are new entities that are coming to me now, because usually it was the reptilians and or the short or tall grays.
How was your experiences with the reptilians? Because I've had both. I've interacted with what I'd say both are in service mode and self-service mode.
Well, sort of both
gamuts.
They walked through my wall. It was one of them. He was huge.
Yeah.
Built like he went to the gym.
Yeah.
Had the scaly skin. But he looked like Spider-Man. But his eyes were yellow. They were beautiful, actually. And the slits were vertical.
Yeah.
Like a cat.
Have you seen the drawing on my website that I've done of one that I saw?
No.
Nah. Well, if you go to Peter Maxwell Slattery and his experiences, it goes through a quick slideshow of the beings, and I'm getting in my head exactly what you're talking about. And those dudes that I interacted with were Earth reptilians, and they were okay. They were actually wanting to break up, and they want to evolve because they can't evolve the way they're going, but they are pretty advanced.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was just scary because he was just so big, and I wasn't seeing these races, and he sat on my bed.
Yeah.
He sat on my bed and he just looked at me. Now I did see one reptilian shortly thereafter, maybe that same month, and he looked more like an alligator face.
All right.
Okay. But he said to me, and I'll never forget this. And in between my head, I heard his voice, and it was a male voice. And he said, "Don't be afraid of me. Don't be afraid of me." He said, "You're going to be rich and famous. I swear to you." But that hasn't happened.
Yeah.
But I thought that always stuck with me. But nothing happened. I don't know whether I blacked out or something. But all I know is that they came in and they came out. But it was just, wow, there's all these races, man.
Yeah.
It's all these different races, like Star Trek or something.
It is, yeah.
And so now I'm seeing these more humanoid looking. Some people may call them Nordic. Some people may call them tall whites. They're very pale, and they have a hood on. But I've seen a gray with his hood off. He had a coat, a robe, and he had a hood.
I had a grey not too long ago. I woke up in the morning just a few weeks ago, and there was a grey at the end of the bed with a cowboy hat on smoking a cigarette.
Oh, my God.
The first thing I thought, like, when I come to the next day is I should be... I don't know what happened. But this is, you know, how tripped out stuff this can get, you know what I mean? Like, I know what you're saying. This is how tripped out. But first thing I'm thinking in human mind is I should be able to smell the cigarette smoke. And I'm going around because I've stopped smoking like 4 or 5 months ago. And I'm going, I should be able to smell it. Can't smell it. And I'm thinking, you know, I just... I always say to people, I just don't expect anything anymore because that's just true. That doesn't make sense to me.
Well, but they're very playful. Some of them are very playful, like kids, you know, and I like that. I like that playfulness. But again, it's just what gets me is if, you know, you come out of a sleep and you, and like you said, somebody's face is right there. It can get your attention. but you know, I'm just, it's the journey. And I know every time I'm visited, I change.
Yeah.
I energetically, but also I'm much more calmer. I just handle stress differently. I still get, you know, can get kind of riled up, but I've just changed.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm grateful for the experiences. I'm grateful for them. I feel privileged that out of all the places they could be, they come to see me.
Now, you know, I'm in the same boat as that. Now, just before I let you go, is there any upcoming things besides, like, you got an event you're speaking at soon. Is there any stuff on television or any series coming up?
Yeah, Ancient Aliens Season 7. I did like 4 or 5 episodes in New York this past July.
Cool.
And they said they should start being on the end of September, the beginning of October.
Awesome.
So hopefully the book comes out the time. We didn't plan it this way, but it would be good timing. Keep watching Ancient Aliens. And I mentioned the Edgar Cayce Ancient Mysteries conference. Giorgio is going to be there. Eric Van Doniken will be there. I met them. Yeah. So it's all good. And again, my website, MichaelJSCarter.com. If you want to contact me, MichaelJSCarter@charter.net. But let me know the link here so I can. You have my email, so I want people to see this. We did tonight.
We hooked up on Facebook too, so that will automatically go there because I'll link you up on that. I'll send you the links to. I have an audio version of the show, both video, so people can either listen to it or watch it.
Send me that on my email. You have my email.
I got your email. Okay. Yep.
Because people want to hear it.
Yep, definitely.
And
definitely.
They'll know more about you, and they'll hear some stuff about me too.
Yeah, definitely. Well, such a privilege having you on, and I'm so happy to have gotten in contact with you. I'd love to get you back on sometime too, but yeah, we'll leave it there at the moment, but thank you so much for being on, eh?
Thank you, brother.
I had an awesome time.
Wish you peace.
Yeah, you too. Thank you very much.
Take care, brother. Well, take care.